Hare
Krishna.
16th chapter today.
So the 16th chapter ended with the Trishloki Bhagavad Gita and the unequivocal glorification of Krishna
as the supreme object of not only the Vedas but as the object of all knowledge.
You know this.
Connecting everything in the Bhagavad Gita with its ultimate conclusion of bhakti, Prabhupada explained that these qualities are transcendental. And accordingly, now why did Krishna not include bhakti and all the supreme qualities? Bhakti and all the qualities of the divine nature? Because the divine nature can also be possessed by those who do not explicitly have bhakti. Divine nature is sattva nature. We will see interestingly, even in the qualities of a Brahmana, Shamo Dhamma Tapashaucha, Shanti Rajya Vimocha, Jnana Vigyana Aspikyam Brahmatana Subhavaja. There is no reference to bhakti. So, a Brahmana does not necessarily have to be a bhakti. And that's why we have the verses of Prahlagna, verses like the verses of Prahlagna. That if a Brahmana is not a bhakta, and a Shopacharya is a bhakta, Shopacharya is much greater. So Brahmana, the Brahmanical qualities from the traditional Vedic point of view are sattva-guna qualities. And if bhakti is added to it, then the Brahmana becomes transcendent. So let's go over these qualities now. Yes, so why is Brahmana dear to Krishna? Brahmana are dear to Krishna when they are Vaishnavas. The first reason, especially dear to Krishna when they are Vaishnavas. And secondly, the Brahmanas are the foundation of Vedic culture. The Vedic culture includes large variety of sadhana and sadhana, which culminate in bhakti to Krishna. But the Brahmanas protect the culture. And that is why, when, if you see these chapters in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 24 is the Yogi Brahman Batnis, Yogi Brahman Pastors, and chapter 25 and 28 are Govardhan Lila. So, in one sense, the spirit is the same. Because the Vajvasis are devotees, they are trying to do Yogi. And Indra stops them and practically attacks them. Similarly, the Yogi Brahman Patnis are trying to bring the Bhoga to Krishna and the husband are trying to stop them. Of course, the husband will resort to violence. But they will try to stop them. So, in one sense, there are devotees who are trying to serve Krishna and then somebody else is obstructing. Now, Krishna strongly chastises the Indra. But there is not one word of chastisement to Krishna with the Brahmanas. And not only that, actually before Krishna sends the Gopas to the Brahmanas, his cowherd boyfriend, he glorifies the Brahmanas. He says they are very virtuous, they are very learned, and whenever there is any debate in the assembly, these Brahmanas give their views, are the final. And even after, if you compare, there was that when Krishna enters the Mathura in chapter 41, at that time when the florist, when the cloth maker, the washerman refuses to give Krishna clothes, Krishna takes strong action against him. But when the Brahmanas refuse to give Bhoga to the Gopas, what does Krishna say? Krishna consoles the Gopas saying that this is the way of begging. When you beg, sometimes you get, sometimes you not get. And he doesn't chastise Brahmanas much. So, what does that mean? It means, even when the Brahmanas err, Krishna doesn't command them. Krishna doesn't chastise them per se. That's why Krishna, because they are the protector of Vedic culture, so they are dear to Krishna. But the nature of Sattva-guna is that it does not necessarily have to lead to bhakti. Like we discussed, somebody will go to the airport and get a job in the airport itself. So like that.
अभयं सत्व संशुद्धि ज्ञान योग व्यवस्थिति आनंदमश्च यज्ञश्च स्वाध्याय तपाजलम् अहिंसा सत्यम अक्रोध चावर शांति अपैशुना दया भूतेश्वलो दुःखम् मार्दम म्रीर च बल तेज क्षमा धृति शौचम् भद्रोः नाति मानिका भवन्ति संपदं दैवीं अभिजातस्य भारत.
Yes.
Abhijatasya. Abhijatasya means that people are born with these qualities. Now, our qualities come from two sources. Our qualities come from nature and nurture. Nature and nurture. Nature means the way we are born. And nurture means the way we are grown up, the kind of social where we are surrounded. And that associates values such a certain qualities, and that is how there is nurture. So nature and nurture, there are two forces which lead to our qualities. In this chapter, Krishna will focus on nature. And later on, in this chapter, we will talk about how by acting according to Shastra, we can, to some extent, avoid the negative influences of our nature. So now in modern society, nurture means, okay, you do this training, you do this activity. But real nurture comes from scripture. When we act according to scripture, the scripture nurtures our divine qualities and brings them forth more and more. So, now, abhijatasya is something very important to understand. All of us are born with certain qualities, and we can't deny that. At the same time, we can't use them to justify our behavior. So, Krishna is telling over here that certain people will be born with these qualities. And Prabhupada goes into elaborate analysis in the purport. So, for example, Abhayam, he says, is the character of sannyasi. Sannyasi, wherever he goes, he should be fearless. And, okay, before that, what is the connection between this and the last chapter? After Krishna described the supremacy of himself and the supremacy of his bhakti, now Krishna talks about how if somebody doesn't take shelter of his bhakti, what are the alternatives for this person? You know, he can follow scripture and gradually elevate himself, or he can defy scripture and go to the infernal regions. These two alternatives are there for him, and they will be discussed in this chapter. So, in one sense, 13.22, Purusha Prakriti Sthohi, that is the beach. And from the beach, how the Guna Sangha happens is described in chapter 14. Now the Guna Sangha leads to a tree. Now how that tree can be cut, and by cutting that tree what can be attained, that is described in chapter 15. Now for those who don't cut that tree, there are the upper parts and the lower part of the tree. So that is the upper part of the tree, because it's an upside down tree. So the upper part is the part which is closest to the root. The upper part is the heavenly or the heavenly planets or the planet of the Loka, Brahma's planets. So, the divine nature leads to the upper part and the demoniac nature leads to the lower part. That will be described now. So, after this, there is no specific field in what happened. There is no question Arjuna is asking. Now, as we discuss earlier, the later section is basically Krishna speaking to clarify certain concepts, and Arjuna also asking certain questions to clarify the concept that will lead to the establishment of the supreme position of bhakti and Bhagavan. So basically, Krishna is elaborating the theme that started off in chapter 13. So, in chapter 13, that Purusha Prakriti story, Bhumite Bhakti, so that was itself related to everything else. So, after describing how one can cut off this tree by bhakti, but for those who cannot cut off this tree, what alternatives are there? The alternative is that they can actually ascend towards the upper part of the tree and not go down towards the lower part. So therefore, it describes the upper and the lower part of the tree. So it seems many of us are very tired. What we could do is, it's 12 o'clock now, we can have a half hour break, we can take proper rest, and then 12:30 to 1:30 we'll have a class. Then we'll complete the 16th chapter, and then 1:30 onwards we can take lunch, and 3:30 we'll start. We'll complete the 13th chapter in the afternoon. Is that okay? Really? A lot of devotees are very tired. I don't look around. Those who are tired, you make them feel guilty. they're tired, and you can't blame them for being tired. Yeah, I know. I don't mind if you want rest. We can finish this. We don't have to bother about that. You can
he had a two-fold action plan.
Pandava has actually installed nuclear medicine over there. But along with that, we increase discipline. So it's not that we only are satisfied with installing nuclear medicine. We also have good security. It's not like high class, it's not such security as we have, say, in the parliament or something like that. It's a little bit of security over there. So, Prabhupada and Kodi Gauri, we should have done this. So, the point is that just when there is danger, there is a difference between necessary danger and foolhardy danger. Foolhardy danger means what purpose is taking that danger serving. If in the part of in the course of our service, the danger is necessary and unavoidable, we will not give up our service for the fear of the danger. But if our service can go on without the danger, then why should we take the danger needlessly? So, what is the example there about? We have the example of Raghunadas Goswami. He was doing bhajan, and now on one side, the way the pastimes are told, the Raghunadas Goswami's absorption and devotion was so great that he did not even notice that a tiger is coming over there. That is the greatness of his devotion. And similarly, the greatness of Krishna's love, Arjuna's love is that they came to protect him. But, you know, so Raghunadas Goswami's spiritual mentors, how did they see it? He said, you are making the Lord responsible to service to you. So, they did not glorify him for his devotion over there. They thought of, almost just pension. You know, why are they making the Lord serve you? So the point is that as devotees, in our, they didn't tell him, oh, you should stop chanting. What is the chanting of the Holy Ghost? So the point is, there is always a difference between necessary danger and foolhardy danger. So, if our danger is not necessary, why should we take it up? When we can serve in many other ways also. So, if we have a choice to go and preach in various places, and some places around in an area where there are known to be violent people, anti-devotional people, terrorist sort of people living, and we can go and preach there. Or another area where there are receptive people who are eager to learn, eager to take Krishna consciousness. And if we decide not to go to that area, that is not a matter of cowardice, it's a matter of simple strategy. Now, on the other hand, if some violent people come to attack our temple, at that time, we are not able to run away from it. There is a necessary danger. And there is a life for that also. But then, it's a matter of something which is not necessary for our service. Then, we don't have to quote danger. The essential principle is, a devotee wants service to go on. And sometimes the danger is necessary for service to go on. And sometimes the service can go on by bypassing the danger. If you can bypass the danger, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as the service itself will not make a difference. I hope this point is clear. So how many can argue the snakes can come here also? Yes, the snakes can come here also. But if the snakes are coming here, we are not going to say that the snakes are easily accessible. It's not like we are going there to send Krishna and protect us. That is not the point. Then it's not that snakes can come everywhere, they can come to our temple also. Then will we go and have to go? No, we will not do that. But the point is that unnecessary danger should be avoided. Narayana Sahib wanted to deliver that prostitute, but he did not go to the prostitute's house to deliver. You know, when she came, he thought that I am the Srimad Bhajan over here, and he is coming. He delivered her also over there. So, a devotee in general doesn't challenge Maya in service to Krishna. Of course, Mother's preaching is itself a challenge to mind. But that is a necessary challenge because we have instructions to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada. Otherwise, there is no need to quote teachers if it is not necessary. So, in general, you know, sometimes we come to this in chapter 70. Sometimes Muslim boys become devotees, they are interested in Krishna consciousness. Now if they become devotees openly, what will happen is that the community will become very, in general, because Muslim and minority, they are quite insecure. And their insecurity manifests by violence. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, aggressive intellectualism and anarchism. So they tend to be fanatically aggressive. So then there are these people who become devotees, but they are going to be devotees secretly, discreetly. So they can practice their Krishna consciousness discreetly. And you don't want to pour danger to the whole community of Vaishnavas for the sake of one devotee. In the same way, you don't want to sacrifice that devotee's bhakti also. You do it discreetly. So anyway, let's move forward now. So, this Abhaya of Sannyasi, so I think we discussed this also, that Nandanandan Maharaj was, he does a lot of teaching in Poland. And Poland is like the stronghold of the Catholic Church. Because Poland was the first country that communism fell because of the activism of the Catholic Church. And after that, communism started falling like a domino effect in all the other countries also. So now this is one of the teaching in Poland is very stressful, and because of that a lot of people are concerned. So some fanatical elements in the Christian community are very concerned. Not only concerned, they are agitated. And they try to sabotage the teaching either by making sure that he doesn't get permissions to get acquire, to get the grounds or halls where the programs are held. Sometimes they hire hula also to attack. So then Maharaj is now about the security staff. And in one of the festivals, the security was very good. And then after that what happened? Then the before the festival started, the security staff was staff head came to meet him. And he told Maharaj, you know, we have done everything in the particular festival. But still there is one thing which they can do, or the whole festival will collapse. Maharaj, what's that? He became very grave into the issue. So then he said, he handed Maharaj a bulletproof vest. So we should be able to solve it. So Maharaj said, I just came in, remembered how, you know, the Goswami is only coping. And not even a proper dress. And he said, I am supposed to follow the Goswami. How can I wear a bulletproof vest? He said, I cannot do this, I am a sannyasi. So he went very grave. He pushed it back to the bulletproof vest. This is not a place to play games. These people are dangerous. And they know that if they can get you down, the whole program will stop. And Maharaj said, he went to his carriage, he went and prayed to them, and he asked, he contested them. And he also remembered how Prabhupada asked you in Vrindavan to get weapons to protect his Vrindasi, his human skin. So then he accepted. So under his accent, that was a bulletproof vest. He didn't always wear it, but especially when he was born in the active regime. So now, will we say that this is a lack of courage? No, it's not a lack of courage, it's a presence of intelligence. It's not absence of courage, it's a presence of intelligence. We have to have intelligence to know, to do whatever is necessary for our teaching. So Abhayam means that a devotee is fearless, but fearlessness doesn't mean foolishness. Fearlessness is always combined with intelligence. Sattva samshuddhi, jnana yoga vrsiddhi. Samshuddhi is purification of existence. And Prabhupada talks in the Krishna Vipassana about how one should keep a distance from the opposite sex. Now these qualities are quite elaborate and do not go into all of them. Basically, jnana yoga vrsiddhi, he says, this describes the sannyasi further. And then he goes on to describe one level called charity, his quality of trust. After describing all these qualities, generally, wherever qualities are good, Prabhupada gives very solid explanation of the qualities, which are very instructive sections for us. So these qualities come in the 10th chapter, then in the 13th chapter, then here the 16th chapter. So now, after describing this, in three verses, Krishna will describe the demoniac qualities first in one verse in three, and then it will expand on it.
Dambho darpo hinanascha krodha parushyameva cha avyanam cha vijatasya partha sampada masuri.
Yes. So now, this is exactly opposite. Can you spot which qualities are opposite from the earlier list? Abhaya, sattva samshuddhi, jnana yoga vrsiddhi, dana, samashchaya, vinyasya. So स्वाध्याय सपाचम अहिंसा सत्यम क्रोध त्याग शांति वैष्णव दया भूतेश्वर मार्गम वीर अशाफलम। सो ज्ञान योग स्थिति अज्ञानम कल्टिवेट नॉलेज हियर द स्टेट इग्नोरेंस देन मार्दवम रीड मार्दवम इज मॉडेस्टी आई थिंक इट तो मार्दव इज ऑफेंस पारुषम जेंटलनेस हार्शनेस अक्रोध क्रोध रीड मॉडेस्टी। So, rear is modesty, so opposite to that is Dhamma Dharpa Abhiman. Prabhupada translation as specific words, pride, arrogance, conceit. But it has, you know, we don't know the grasp the difference between it. There is this Amanitvam Adambitvam, which is there in the 13th chapter, the 20 aspects of knowledge. So, describe what is the difference between Amanitvam and Adambitvam. Aman means when we have certain qualities, and we expect respect for those qualities. And dhamma means when we pretend to have that which we don't possess and demand respect for it. So, the specific dhamma means, you know, one pretends, one parades one's religiosity and demands respect while actually not giving it. That is dhamma. And, yeah, we'll go to something in one good word. So the English word are synonyms. So, Chakravarti Pali explains it. Dhamma, Dharpa and Abhiman. So Dhamma means to parade oneself as a religious person and demand respect without actually being religious. Then, Dharpa is when one expects honor for one's possessions. And Abhiman is basically how it is, Dharpa is when one makes a show of one's qualities. And Abhiman is when one demands respect for those qualities. So what is the difference between the two? That means somebody, like some people, they like to, you know, they are people of flaunting. Flaunting your wealth, flaunting your ability, flaunting your knowledge. So, like Jayadev Maharaj made those 10 commandments of people, which have most of us been adopted by the GBC. GBC made all of the gods of men, the GBC resolution about Kirtan. No, he followed it. So, basically, one of the commandments is that thou shall not change the tune after every 3 mantras. So the idea is what happens is, sometimes those who can sing very nicely, they start singing for the sake of exhibiting. You know, yes, it's good if they can sing in very attractive tunes, but the purpose of our kirtan is that others should be able to follow. And they should also be able to sing. Yeah. So yeah, we should not change that tune. Basically the idea is that now there are special forums, this guy, musical concerts, then we can exhibit musical abilities also, that's a different forum. But there is normal kirtan is going on. So when one has one's abilities, one likes to flaunt those abilities. Whichever it is, somebody has a lot of knowledge, they should have to parade their knowledge for us. So to some extent all of us have this anartha. But that is now that the explicit demand for respect is not there, but just the desire to show the knowledge. And Abhiman is when one demands respect. When one demands respect. I'm so nice, I don't appreciate it. We don't say like that. Or we even say it. Who knows? So, one is the flaunting and the other is the demanding respect. Now, Dharpa and Abhiman are with respect to qualities that we possess. And Dharpa is with respect to what we don't possess. Both. Because the desire, the hunger for honor, or the desire to flaunt, that is itself a quality. And some ability is used as an excuse to express that quality. Now, parushyam in which harsh speech. So, because the new chapter. Now, what is there as compared to the mardam, dambadarka, Riman? The one contrast is mardam, modest. Read is modest. Be modest. Modesty is equivalent to humility. Now, sampadam asuri. So the word sampada refers to treasure or wealth. So asuri people consider this to be their sampada. That's like sometimes, you know, when college students sit together and they like to taunt somebody. And you know, when you pass comments, the more sarcastic the comment that you can pass about somebody, the cleverer you are considered. So these qualities, they treasure them. It's not just that they have these qualities, they treasure them, they cherish them, and they long to develop them. How much more harsh can you speak? Like in IIT and other places, and boys have birthday, what do they do? All other people come and kick them on the back. What? And I think that is the way to celebrate the birthday. So it's such a perverted value system. Krodha, anger, extremity sometimes as a sign of showing one's strength. I can get angry, I can do whatever I want. So these people treasure these qualities. Now hearing this, for after describing this, immediately Krishna describes the consequences of this. Briefly, this is the right on introduction going on. This Daivi Sampatti Mokshaya Nibandhaya Vimata Mashucha Sampadam Daivi Abhijato Si Pandava. So, the question is, among all the demonic qualities, anger seems to have its utility also. When a person has to fight a war, he has to get angry. So then, once Maharaj gave a class on this, Radhan Maharaj gave a class on the Dakshap aspect. And then he was telling how, first, this whole system of everybody got killed was getting angry. And when Daksha spoke critically of Shiva, then for all the followers of Shiva, it was a guru aparadha which they were witnessing. And they had to react. And they reacted and they overreacted. And they criticized not only Daksha, but even the Brahmanas who were supporting him performed the yajna. And the Brahmanas got angry, they also criticized. And in this way, the whole thing came chaotic. So then I asked Maharaj this question, if for the followers of Shiva, it was a guru aparadha, and then they had to counter it. So, where was it wrong for them to counter it? Where did things go wrong? Once he was, you can say, started it, and Daksha criticizing Shiva. But, then we say, a trap cannot happen with one hand only. So they also retaliated. So was the retaliation wrong? So, Maharaj gave a very profound answer. He said, yes, for example, when the spiritual master is offended, it is the duty of the disciple to protect the reputation of the spiritual master, protect the goodwill of the spiritual master. But we should protect in a way that makes things better, not makes things worse. We should protect in a way that makes things better, not makes things worse. So, what happens is that anger also has to be channelized. If anger goes out of control, then the tendency of anger is to go out of control. Because when anger comes, it's not that we can control it. It normally just takes control of us. So at our level, it's best not to become angry. So yes, that's why Arjuna also gets this doubt. immediately, oh, alas, alas, I am unfulfilled by the demoniac qualities. Because I am so harsh, parushi. I am going to attack my grandfather, I am going to attack my teacher. And because of this demoniac qualities, I am going to go to hell. So immediately Arjuna says, Krishna says, Mahashichaha. Mahashichaha is going to become famous here, 18.6. But now, do not fear. Sampadam Devi, you have got divine nature. Why? Because the Kshatriya fight is not unfair. It is not demoniac. Especially when the righteous war, it is his duty. And for a Kshatriya to give up his duty will be a cowardice. And not fighting will be a demoniac. So, Mahashichaha Sampadam Devi. So certain circumstances may be there where war can and should be avoided. And as per personal anger should be controlled. But certain situations, the anger doesn't start to express something. So we have to be very careful that anger doesn't take control of us. It is not easy. It's just like Krishna says that Dharma Vinda Bhoteshu Kamasi Vardasha. That in procreation, I am the lust. But when actually one is reprocreation, whether one is Krishna conscious, it's very difficult at that moment. As far as the Dharmadhan Samskara also, but then after that, the lust takes possession of the person. So similarly, in the Nathar, we may want to use Krishna service, it's not easy to use Krishna service. It's safe to keep a distance from the mind. Are these qualities only for transcendental Brahmanas? No, these are for everyone. So even a Shudra is not supposed to speak harshly. Okay. So, for Kshatriya, violence and harsh words are allowed. Then how does that reconcile with the fact that they are demoniac qualities? So, there are two distinct principles here. One is that there are broad qualities that are defined. And after the broad qualities are defined, everybody has these qualities, divine or demoniac, to lesser or greater degrees. And according to the degree to which people have those qualities, they are given a freedom, they are given a set of duties. So now for a Brahmana, see, basically what happens is, he is expected to have a lot of divine qualities. And that's why for him there is Shamaha, forgive. A king can also forgive, but if he only thinks forgiving, the criminal eventually will take over the kingdom. So, therefore, these qualities have to be expressed according to one's particular dharma. And when I'm pursuing one's dharma, one is when one does certain activity, it is not necessary that there is considered a violation of duty. But it's not necessary that it's an expression of cruelty or harshness. So that means these qualities are general qualities, but for specific duties, there are specific actions that are required. And for those actions, certain qualities will be required to be expressed. But they are channelized. So, Kshatriya can use harsh words against other Kshatriyas. But he is not supposed to use any harsh words against Brahmanas. He is not supposed to use any harsh words against the sages and saints. So, it is not that he is a foul-mouthed person who speaks harshly against anyone ever. Those harsh words are meant to invoke Kshatriya spirit. So, it is basically just a regulation. So, it is like, you know, this is the pole of dharma and there are concentric circles around it. So, the brahmanas, they have the smallest concentric circle, they have the smallest circle of freedom. They have to exhibit the most exemplary qualities. The next circle is kshatriya, where they have more leeway. The idea is one should be a krodha. But the kshatriyas, by their nature, they have krodha and their beauty also requires krodha. So, it's not that they don't have krodha because of their beauty, they have to develop krodha. No, by being Kshatriya they already have krodha, and if they are not given a duty where the krodha can be expressed, then if they start doing Brahmana's duty, they will not be able to do, and they will express krodha and they will defile the Brahmana class as a whole. The idea is that all of us have inborn qualities, and in the Vedic culture, everybody is given duties that generally becomes inborn qualities. So everybody has progressively more freedom. So Vaishya Yukti has slightly more freedom. Shudra Yukti has more freedom. In the sense that, the range of acceptable behavior then for them is greater. Is this clear?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, our different qualities are described according to Varana and Asvarana. That is true. So naturally, a Brahmana is expected to have more bodily qualities and practically no devotee qualities. A Shudra may not have so many bodily qualities and may have some devotee qualities. And because he has those deficiency of bodily qualities and some presence of devotee qualities, that's why he is a Shudra. So, that means there is an ideal and there is an approach to the ideal. The approach to the ideal will depend on where I am at the time. Now what is that? The ideal, what is that? The Allah Gopinath Puri talks about it. The ideal, the practical and the, what is it? Basically that is the ideal. The ideal is we always think of Krishna. The real is what? We rarely think of Krishna, even when we are chanting. The real, what to speak of other types. The ideal, the real and the practical. So the real is, the ideal is you always think of Krishna. The real is that you rarely think of Krishna. And the practical is, okay, let me try to think of Krishna, please come. So therefore, you know, the ideal is given over here. These are divine qualities, these are divine qualities. Then it's also known that the reality is going to be different. The reality will be different depending on whether the person is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And then according to where they really are, they are given a practical method to move towards that. So the ideal doesn't change. But the real is different for different people. And according to the practical for them changes so that they can eventually approach the ideal. Okay? Let's move on. So now Krishna then start describing systematically. Arjuna, you are fearful that you have demoniac qualities. Now I describe the demoniac qualities. Then you will identify that you don't have the demoniac qualities. So he not only reassures them, but he elaborates. First he gives the reassurance and then he starts explaining. Gau bhuta targau loke smin daiva asura eva cha daivo vistara shama prokta asuram partha neshvaro. Quickly,
in this world, there are two kinds of created beings. One is called divine and the other demonic. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now hear from me of the demonic.
So, you know, here Krishna is known as Vistarashaha. Vistarashaha means at great length, I have described the divine qualities. Now, actually, I have described only three verses. I say three verses, great length. Actually, you have to understand the context of that and see. And it's a important situation over there. And in the three verses, is great length, actually. So, one time, I didn't meet Radha Maharaj for some personal guidance. So I waited for, I was going to give it to Maharaj Sir. And 3.5 days I waited. And afterwards, Maharaj called me one day just after lunch. Then I waited for 15-20 minutes. I asked some questions about my writing and other things. I asked him nice answers. Then, going to ask, anybody Maharaj said yes. So how was it? Yes. It was only 15-20 minutes. 15-20 minutes.
Break time! It's a break time!
For years to get even 1 day plus such a mass information. So, it's something which you should not be interested in the soulless. Something which you should share for the rest of your life. To keep it in
place.
So, the Ramayana was telling that one disciple of Prabhupada, Prabhupada was coming down the stairs. He was coming down the stairs, and I said, the jewelry is standing next to the pole and waiting for Prabhupada. No. And Prabhupada came out, and Prabhupada just looked at him. And Prabhupada smiled and said, yeah! And Prabhupada walked. And he said, this devotee, he can take that one word jai and give a 1,000 pages per portrait. Because that jai is like a lifelong encouragement for him. So, the idea is that a devotee should be able to
cherish whatever one can associate with it. So, rather than demanding more and more, whatever we have, we cherish and cherish that.
We often get mercy of Krishna and Vaishnava, but what happens is we take it for granted. In material life, when people get sense gratification,
they keep remembering it again and again and again. Oh, I went to this hill station, I went to this party, I went to this. They take photos and they keep remembering it.
Now we get so much mercy. We go for wonderful yatras, we get some nice association, some nice nectar movement. But what happens is, the mind has its expertise to remember material pleasure and forget spiritual pleasures.
This is just remarkable ability.
Some material pleasure you may have enjoyed 15 years ago, but the mind remembers it very clearly. And some spiritual pleasure you have enjoyed 15 minutes ago, the mind forgets it.
So actually, if you consciously cultivate the memory,
so whatever spiritual moments we have had,
we will consciously cultivate those remembrances.
And then they will stay with us.
So this is the actually,
you know, these are the moments and inspirations which will actually give us the strength to go on whenever we have some difficulties in our life, when we become weak, when we fall from some standards we are trying to follow. So this is the Rishaha.
So Asuran Pathamishu.
Now I describe you. Asuran, now Krishna actually was Asuran, Asuriguna, they would describe Vistarasha also. Elaborately with them. Pravrittim cha vrittim cha janana vidura asuraha nashau chandati cha charo tam te shu vidyate. So, Pravrittim cha vrittim cha, what is true? They don't know because there is no benchmark for deciding what is to wear and what is not to wear.
There's no, once we reject scriptural morality, once we say, okay, scripture says this is right, this is wrong. Once we reject that, we say, by our own judgment we'll decide what is right, what is wrong. Then what happens? That our own judgment keeps changing.
So scripture says abortion is wrong. But then we say, no, actually, the woman doesn't want a child, she should be given the freedom. Why should we force her? Okay, then you say that, okay, let's allow abortion. Legally allow abortion. But once you start legally allowing abortion, then what happens? Abortion becomes a big business. And especially in China, what happens is, so once you allow abortion, there was a big scandal. There was some maternity clinic where some investigators in their sort of dustbins found the bones in the bodies of almost 200 babies. So what had happened was, the doctor, when the mother was pregnant, the mother would come to the doctor and the doctor would artificially kill the baby and take the organs from the child so that the organs could be, the organs at a formative stage, they are taken, they are exported to wealthy Americans and Europeans who have effective organs, and that stem cell technology, those organs would be developed in it. So what happens is, now the mother will never come to you. Now they just go to gynecology. The gynecologist says, you have the child has a miscarriage. How will they ever come to you? So once we start off, it becomes pointless. And you say, you allow abortion. Say, okay, now the child may actually not be malformed, the child may not be diseased, but you still have to kill it. And who is going to check it? Actually, the doctor says the child is malformed, they are better to do abortion. So who is going to check it? Apart from the doctor, nobody has known it. So, that's why, once we remove scripture as a guidance, then there is no guidance left. What to do, what not to do. Pravrittim cha vrittim cha na vidurasuraha. Na vidurasuraha. One cannot know what is to be done, what is not to be done. And the shaushabna, Prabhupada is a very heavy purport over here. You can read that afterwards. Asatyam apratishtham te jagadahuran ishwaram aparasvarasam bhutam kivanyat kama haitukam. So, asatyam apratishtham refers to the Mayavadis and the Buddhists. Anishwaram refers to the atheists. Asatya. The Mayavadi say that the world is unreal. Apatishtham. There is no foundation on it. So at least the Mayavadi say Brahman is the foundation. But the Buddha says there is no foundation on it. Nothing is real.
asatya, asatya means mayavad, apatishtha is buddhism, anishwar is atheism. And?
Okay, then what is the cause of this world? Aparaspara sambhogam, kimanyanta, yes, cause.
The only cause, their cause is used in the sense of purpose.
What is the purpose of existence?
Kama and to come, is it just? This is verification, there is no other purpose apart from that. Chakravarti passes kama and to come also means, that whatever you desire the purpose of the world to be, that is the purpose of this world. So, that is by your philosophy, you can make your own philosophy, and whatever you think is the philosophy, that is the purpose of this world. Kama and to come. So now, from this worldview, what happens? Now, actually, to a large extent, this is the worldview prevailing in the world today. So, what happened was, after the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, when more or less science triumphed over religion, primarily Christianity and the rest, then science became very strong and dominant and it became the prominent primary source of knowledge. But after that, especially in the start of the 20th century, you know, certain heavy earthquakes occurred within the building of science. What do you mean, earthquakes occurred in the building of science? That actually, you know, these two theories were developed, relativity and quantum. And both are completely contradictory. And Einstein towards the end of his life practically went mad. Because he wanted to establish how relativity is true, but at the same time he could not deny the truth of quantum physics. Because quantum physics also worked. And in one of the last quotes of Einstein, he said, "No, I feel as if the ground has been removed from under my feet. And no matter how far I see, there is no place that I can keep my feet." Now, what is the ground and how it has been removed? That's a scientific discussion. And I won't go into that. But basically, the point is that what is the nature of reality, nobody knows. Because according to quantum physics, there is nothing but waves. And relativity requires that there are particles. There are real particles. And the problem is, both theories work in their respective zones. So which is the actual reality, nobody knows. And eventually there are many other books written, like Thomas Kuhn wrote one book called Structure of Scientific Revolutions, which again shook science a lot. So that science is also just a relative body of knowledge. That depending on the socio-cultural environment, people think in a particular way. And that's how people develop science also. So basically, this was intellectual, what happened to Einstein, Bohr and others. But from a practical point of view, in 1945, when the atom bombs were dropped on Japan, that time the bubble of science was a blessing to humanity burst. Why? Because, you know, the E equal to MC square was the greatest insight of the greatest scientists of modern times. The interconvertibility of matter and energy. And the greatest insight of the greatest scientist of our times led to the greatest man-made disaster of our times. That was the atom bomb. And that really disrupted people's faith in science. So, that's why in the West we have the trend which is called postmodern trend. The slowly started coming to India. We say modern, but in the West people say modern is old now, modern is modern. Again, postmodern times. In modern times, people had a lot of faith in science. In postmodern times, people don't have faith in anything. Anything. They say religion adds this dogma. And science is also another dogma. It's also another belief system. So people don't believe anything at all. So that's the thing. When you don't believe anything, what happens? Whatever works for you, you do it. But don't impose what you are doing on you. Don't say that what you are, what you believe, what you find good, what you experience in life. I'm happy to find it nice, because I don't find something like that. But if you say what you are experiencing as good is universal truth, then that is the wrong. So that's why if you see the book Journey Home, that is written keeping this post-modern audience in mind, primarily. If it's a post-modern audience, you cannot instruct anything. So the tone of Journey Home is not about instructing. If you note the voice of Maharaj, in Maharaj's lectures, you have to take a spiritual master instructing with that, we should do like this, we should not do like this. But the Journey Home is basically his personal experiences and the realizations which he got from those experiences. So that sort of writing is very, very effective. The Christians have also started that. Like we have a series called How I Came to Krishna Consciousness. The Christian devil thing is called chicken soup for the soul. They think chicken soup is a very nourishing food. So chicken soup for the soul. How Jesus saved me. And they write stories like that. And they try to attract people. But most of the, because Christianity doesn't have so much philosophy. So practically every time they have their version of satsang, the Christian mass. So the most attractive program in the Christian mass is the testimonies. Testimonies is, oh, I accepted Jesus as Savior and I prayed and this happened, that happened. People get very moved by that. So the point is that
Kiman has come, I have come.
This world has come.
There is no actual reality, no actual absolute. Whatever you works for you, that is great. It doesn't work for you. And if it works for me, I'll accept it. It doesn't work for me, get out of my way.
That's why in the West now spirituality has become very experiential. You know, people just want experiences.
Yes, I felt that was so nice.
But they don't want lifestyle changes. They don't want lifestyle changes. In Krishna consciousness gives experiences, but they also demand lifestyle changes. So it's a little demanding for people. But if people can get really profound experiences, they can make the commitment to change their lifestyle also. Now Krishna says in the next verse, if you have this sort of, if people have this sort of worldview, that asatyam apatishtam anishwara, what is the result of that?
Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmano yasa buddhayaha prabhavantyangra karmanaha shayaya jagatohitaha.
So Prabhupada talks about nuclear weapons in the purport. They are not meant for welding, they are just meant for destruction. So Prabhavanti has to be flourish, or the other is to be born. Prabhava Pralaya Sanandrishana is born. So Chakravarti translates that these people are born for the destruction of the world. Ladies, the pure devotee is born for the deliverance of the world. So Prabhavanti, they are born for what? For doing upila karma. They are born as enemies of the world to do Ugra Dharma and Shayaya Dharma, destroy the world. The demoniac people are the enemies of the whole world. And we see there are a lot of people like that. There are people who are just hardline, especially hardline atheists are there. So the atheists, they have a slogan. The slogan is, for humanity to live, religion must die. That is their slogan. And they say that, just look at the history of the world. So much violence has been because of religion. So much violence, so much death, so much this, so much that. And unfortunately what has happened is, these people have only seen the fanatical type of things. You know, Islam itself is highly fanatical. And if you look at the history of Christianity, it has also been quite fanatical. And they have this, I mentioned last time about apathism. You know, apathism, remember? The theories of atheism and apathism. Apathism means, you know, whether there is a God or not, I don't care. I'm apathetic. While you people, you are bothered about who God is over there, you are bothered about some imaginary other world, and because of that, you create fights in this real world. So I'm not bothered about this. That's why, you know, Bhakti Karmada once telling me, he's trying to write a book, he's asking me whether I can work with him, on answering the atheist. So he said, the first cause of atheism is religion. The first cause of atheism is religion. When religious people do not behave properly, they cause atheism. And you know when the Christian missionary St. Francis, not St. Francis of Assisi, other St. Xavier, he came to India, he went around India, and he said that, you know, if we want to ever convert Hindus to Christianity, you know, we have to destroy the Brahmins. As long as the Brahmanas are there, we cannot convert them. And although by that time, this was the 17th century, the Brahmanas had become also sort of stratified. You know? They wanted power because of the power and position and honor because of the Brahmanas. But still, they were a source of inspiration and guidance. So, once people see that the religious leaders are not behaving properly, because sometimes what happens, especially Christian evangelists, they push a lot. Come to this program, come to this program, come to this program. So the atheists have made a slogan. God, please save me from your followers.
since there is need for me to call about it. So,
the idea is that actually, Chayaya Jagato Hitaha. So, the atheists are aggressive, but what happens is the religious people become fanatical, it becomes worse. So, there was one Christian preacher who had predicted that yesterday was the day when the world was going to be destroyed.
May 21, 2011.
And he spent $200 million. $200 million to put again, the world is going to be destroyed. Surrender to Jesus. Only then will be saved. So can you value $200 million? And now, actually, the Christians have really made a mess. They have made, at least according to major Christian organizations, 25 times till now, in the last 200 years, the time of the destruction of the world has come and gone.
No.
2012 is not Christians, it is Mayan, that is different. But the Christians, that is, see, especially in Kali Yuga, you know, that person has become a laughing stock. You know, but he also says, you know, actually, God, Jesus is so merciful, he extended his grace to
us. People see through that.
So, in general, what happens is that when this sort of representation of religion comes, then it doesn't just discredit Christianity, it discredits all religions. So, you remember the Bhakti Shastra, in the Rishabhi, I talked about scripture has three parts. You consider scripture as a circle. But there is one part of scripture which is, like one sector which is in agreement with Pratyaksha Anuman or in advancement of Pratyaksha Anuman. Like Yoga or Ayurveda. Essentially, you get practical beliefs. There is one part of scripture which is contradictory to Pratyaksha Anuman. And there is a third part which is beyond Pratyaksha Anuman. So basically, scripture has a different content. Now, some part of scripture is in agreement with Pratyaksha Anuman. Some part disagrees. And some part is transcendental. Well, for example, whether there is a spiritual world or not, it's not within the disagreement with science, it's just beyond science. So now, did man go to the moon or not? But that is disagreement with science, as of now. On the other hand, say that, is there a soul in the body? But there is significant evidence to support that. So, in general, when we preach, our focus is the third part, that is transcendental Pratyaksha Anuman. Our focus is we want to take people back to the spiritual world. And when they become devotees, they see the practical transformation in their lives, they become inspired to go ahead. Now, we talk about the first part, that is agreeing with Pratyaksha Anuman, so that people develop faith. And they take up the practice of the third part. So this is agree to the first part, this is the second part, transcendental third part, 1, 2, 3. So we emphasize on the first part so that people can develop faith, practice the third part, and then their faith will become strong. So, in general, in our teaching, we should not emphasize the second part too much. unless it is necessary. So, now for example, we have to consider Darwin's theory of evolution. That is necessary because that is a direct attack on the existence of God. But now, moon landing, that is not exactly necessary. You know, when the heat of the moment was there, 1969, Prabhupada talked about magnetron on the moon. It's not that Prabhupada was talking about 1973, 74, 75, 76, 77, no. But throughout Prabhupada was talking about evolution. And refuting that. Why? Because that's necessary, essential. So in general, our preaching should focus on the transcendental part. And especially, you know, if we demand for people believe in something which is completely contradictory to their experience of perfection and anumana, then that demand can be an unreasonable demand. And not many people will be able to take that up. So just like there is that story one devotee asked, incident, one devotee asked the Prabhupada.
Prabhupada, the Bhagavatam says, then we try to when we preach,
then we talk about Bhagavatam to the scholars. And we tell the scholars
that, you know, that
Ugrasen had how much? 2 billion bodyguards. 1 billion bodyguards. 1 billion bodyguards. They started laughing. They say, where would they stay? Where were the toilets? They laugh at us. So now, we normally say Prabhupada was smashing on confrontations. So what does Prabhupada say? In the 88,000 verses of Bhagavatam, was that the only thing that he could tell the scholars? Now, it's not that we lack faith, but is that what is necessary that we have a teacher? No, that's a teacher. So even when you are talking about Rama, and Rama is well known, there are so many monkeys, thousand, crows, this, Shankar, Mahashankar, Padma, Mahapadma. Now, that when you talk with devotees, that's good. When you talk with new people, it just stretches credibility unnecessarily. Similarly, the idea is that the distance between Lanka and in Bharat is 1,000 yojanas. So now, currently it's not the same. Now, it's an ongoing discussion whether the current Lanka is the actual Lanka or somewhere else. There's no clear answer because the Shastras talk about a historical reality. The Shastras talk about the current reality with respect to geography. So therefore, we don't have to emphasize that. Therefore, the important thing is, we should know that we are focusing on the third part, the transcendental part. And start with the initial part, so that people have a faith. So, and why I was talking about all this is doomsday preaching is something which is very, very antithetical to the postmodern mind. Doomsday preaching means, the world is going to destroy, come on, take shelter of God. Take shelter of God, so many of course. So, people don't like it at all. And it makes religion into laughing stock basically. That's why we don't have to. This is the mistake of Christianity, that they have made many empirically disprovable predictions. And when they are disproven, then it becomes a big crisis of faith for those who are followers. And it becomes a laughing stock for those who are not the followers. So both ways it's a problem. Yes? Yes, it's like, I'll discover yourself positively. We talk about scientific evidence for existence of God. We talk about Vedas, how they have some material knowledge within them, a remarkable material knowledge. And then we directly go into the teaching of the soul. And then further we talk about bhakti and other things. Correct, known to unknown. Right, what do we have to think? So we have to contradict people's notions only when it is necessary. Confrontation is necessary by teaching. But we don't have to maximize the confrontation. So now, Krishna says, so from this verse also, Krishna is describing the behavior of his people. Etam drishtim avashyabhya nashtatmana elta buddhaya. Sorry. We discussed this. Kamam ashritya dushpuram sambhamana madamitaha moha guhivasa grahan pravartante yashuchitrataha. Next is it. they take shelter of Kama. Instead of taking shelter of Narayana, they take shelter of Kama. Earlier, Dr. Idam Jnana Upasitya. The Brahmin takes shelter of Jnana, but they take shelter of Kama. And what part of Kama? Dushpuram, insatiable. So, insatiable, not by itself, by its nature, insatiable, but they try to provoke it more and more and more. So, you know, once the person goes down the path of sense gratification, it's like a black hole. It just sucks one in and there's no end to it. You know, you can have a relationship within marriage, then you go a relationship outside marriage, then relationship with people of the same sex, then you have relationship with children, and then it just goes on and on. The degradation, there's no stop to it. Vishnu-ram. And moha, it's all because of moha. What is the moha? Asat grahan vritva. They take the temporary body to the eternal. And pravartante, they engage ashuchi vrataha. Ashuchi vrata is unclean vows. So recently, Lava, one year ago, our temple, when I left, got the
Shara Kunj Bihari Bhagavan ki.
All the Dalai Bhagavan ki. So, our temple, one day, when the Sukhra recorded, for this, the painting operation. So we were doing a little research, other than other things also in Michigan, which we Buddhist record. So the Buddhist sent the update, what are the new records that are already set up? So one record which made international headlines was that one couple in Thailand kissed each other continuously for 47 hours. And people said, ah, it's so disgusting. And the mouth was saliva and sweat and stink. And 47 hours. Sin was always there, Satyuga, Kaliyuga, Dapayuga, Kaliyuga. The danger of Kaliyuga is that sin is glorified and glamorized. That is the great danger of Kaliyuga. Now Krishna describes this for the mentality. Chintam aparineyam cha pralayam tam paashitaha kamo prabhoga parma ekavadi shitaha asha paashitate vadha kamakrodha parayaha ईहंते काम भोगार्थम अन्यायेना संचया.
Single mothers means a woman have a relationship with men
and then they have children without getting married. Now for these single mothers, Prabhupada talked about it also, that a man can enjoy with the woman, man goes away, and the woman has two choices. Both are unpleasant. One is abortion, and the other is to both have a social stigma as a single mother, and also the burden of taking care of the child. And in India, social stigma is very big. In the West, there is no social stigma. Practically no social stigma there. Social stigma means bad name. So what happens is, but still for these women, life becomes very difficult. When they take care of their child, or when they will they earn a living, or will they do their education? So, one of our devotees, Arjun Gokul in America, he has gone to university there. So there, in the university, you know, there, well, this is where, if you have a baby, please don't stuff the human this dustbin. Please leave him at so and so place, and give us a call. Give us a call. And the wells, they have this notion that Indians are so anti-women. That Indians do sonography and find out if the woman, if the child is a girl, then they kill him. But what are they doing in the West? Whether a child is a boy or a girl, they are abandoned. Everyone. So it's horrible. And not only that, if they, so the government decided that, children should not be abandoned like this, the government decided to give a special allowance for single mothers. And so that they can continue their education or they can maintain themselves and also take care of them. But then what happened because of this allowance for single mothers, that now for a woman who is going in university, going to college, you know, if she is on her own, she has no source of income because she is studying still now. But if she is single mother, she has a ready-made source of income. So what happens? Just to get the income, women become single mothers. So the whole purpose gets defeated. So you know, it's like Prabhupada calls shyness as the control valve. Once the control valve is removed, there's no control left. So where the chaos will lead? So if the women don't have any sense of value, they think from a practical point of view, the government will give me money, and what happens? People normally compare each other. There's one girl who just has to struggle for do a part-time job and also do her studies. Or she has to work in a company. And another woman who has a child in the government is big. So what happens is, basically, they are rewarding the moral religion. And then what happens? You encourage moral religion. So, kamo ko bhoga parama. Kamo ko bhoga parama. Self gratification is considered supreme goal of life. So there is an organization in the West called PETA. PETA is people for ethical treatment of animals. So, they are trying to avoid animal slaughter. And in that sense, they are doing good work. But pravrtinje janana vilasi. Actually, if you don't have sufficient guidance, then whatever cause they take up, they just go beyond logic in that cause. Beyond logic, beyond restraint. So they wanted to attract people to their cause. So what they do is one of the most popular posters. Is they have an unclothed female and they have an animal, maybe a lobster or a fish or a pig or a goat, and they show. The animal has parts just like you, totally animals. And they are completely unclothed women, and the woman who do this, she has so much love for animals, so selflessly, sacrificing her body for the care of the poor animal. It's completely crazy. When India came to the semi-finals of the World Cup, so there was one model who said that if India wins the World Cup, then I will strip for the pleasure of all the Indian countries. And you know, it was such a stupid thing. And he said, actually, I love my country and I love my country. And statistics in the West have shown that the main motivation for women, for men, is to see the form of women. So out of my love for my country and for my cricket, I want to do this. And then it created such a big scandal. And on top of that, in Mumbai there is a PETA office. So the PETA issue is circular, which also works on the thing. If you want to strip, don't strip for the rich cricketers, strip for the poor animals.
ఇంకా ప్రవేశించే జనాన విధాత్ర కామోప భోగ పరమ ఏకావత్ నిశ్చిత ప్రైమ్ నెసెసిటీ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్.
Now what happens by this? Chintas aparineyam cha pralayam tam upashita. There is a moment of death with unlimited anxiety. Unlimited anxiety. Why? Because gratification is something that is not in our control all the time. Most of the time it is not in our control. So what happens is it creates anxiety. So, with most for everybody, for males and females both. For females, those who start, you know, in Vedic culture, females were valued as mothers. But in the modern times, females are taught that their self-worth comes by being sex symbols. Sex symbols mean, you know, how many heads can you make turn when you walk? That is the indication of how much value you have. So, now what happens is, if this is the value that women are taught to cherish, that as they age, their beauty is going to go away. And they have no value. There is nothing left to live for. Similarly, if men are just going to be in the mood of enjoyment, when that enjoying ability goes away, then there is nothing left to live for. On the other hand, women are like mothers and men are like protectors. And those roles can be followed throughout the life. So what happens is when one starts developing materialistic values, the materialistic values immediately bring anxiety. Chinta aparimeya, unlimited anxiety. Unlimited anxiety. And asha pasha, chatai irvata, thousands of desires that people are bound by. Kama krodha parayana. Again, it was kama ashita. Now it is paraya. Paraya is dedicated. That is the ultimate goal of life. Sadbuddha dharmana sannishtha parayana. In the 5th chapter 17 verse Krishna says how one should be parayana to him, to the absolute truth. But now there is parayana to kama and truth. And now actually what happens to kama and truth is there? Anyayem artha sanchayam. That and they do anyaya, they do injustice for what? Artha sanchayam, for wealth. So now we say often that lust is not satisfied, what happens? It becomes cruel. And lust is satisfied, it becomes greedy. Now how, when lust is satisfied, how does it become greedy? What does it mean? One meaning is that when you satisfy lust, it is that it stores for more and more and more. So it becomes greedy. But that's one understanding. Another understanding is that actually when lust is satisfied means what? When a man gets to enjoy with a woman. When a man gets to enjoy with a woman, at that time, he has to please that woman. And in order to please that woman, women are pleased by the matrimony. So he has to become greedy. He has to earn a lot by hook or by crook. So that's how when lust is satisfied, it leads to greed. And generally we see also when a person becomes married or becomes involved in some affair, you know, his monitoring needs just spiral upwards. Spiral up and more and more and more. So anyayen artha sanchayam. So, we have 12 more verses to go. Can we complete or should we stop here? We don't have much to discuss on this. We quickly complete. No questions. 130 will come, sure. So, he's describing how the anyaya and artha sanchayam takes place. What does anyaya like to do? Should we recite or should we skip the recitation?
Translation,
yes. Quickly.
My enemy and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, powerful and happy. I am the rich man surrounded by rich to take it with you. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices, I shall do some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, the persons are deluded by
the world. A typical mentality which we may see in some Hindi movie of Underworld Dawn. I have killed him, I have killed that person. Sorry? Yeah, sacrifice mentality when they do? Well, not much. They do sometimes, especially many of these people they make
big Ganpati temples in India. It's basically for what? Yes, to go there, plant their wealth, and if they're using it for religious purposes, they don't get taxes. I made this thing. Now there's an ongoing competition going on between six businessmen. Who will make the biggest Hanuman deity in the whole world? So each of them has made the biggest, and the second one has made the biggest. So you know, there are six huge utility in different parts of the country. Some of them like 30 feet, 40 feet, 50 feet, 80 feet. Huge. And nobody will worship them after that also. So it's just a false view. Krishna will talk about that mentality a little later. But here, the point is that asau maya hata shatru anishya chapalanti. So Krishna talks about the demonic mentality as the result of lust. When lust comes, it will lead to greed, it will lead to anger. But we just want to destroy those who are not on their path, not in their way. So, even terrorism or religious terrorism also, it doesn't spring originally from religion. It springs from basically from greed. And what happens when it springs from greed? There is no morality left, there is no sense of conscience left. Killing somebody in cold blood. And there's no spiritual advancement means not just one except some dogma. Yes, this person is God, this person is a representative. No. Actually, spiritual advancement means one becomes more and more sensitive to others' emotions and others' feelings. So you blow people others up and think that's a sign of their spirit. Yes. That's completely wrong. And our Indian government is so compassionate that it gives pension to all the families of the terrorists. Why? Because they say, oh, these terrorists are misled because they are so poor and they didn't get jobs. That's why what? They became terrorists. So in order that other family members should not become terrorists, we give pension to their family. So what happens is that these terrorists, they have nothing to lose. In the next life they are going to Jannat. That's what they believe. And Jannat, each of them is going to get 73 virgins to enjoy it. And this life, you know, they go to the family is taken care of and they go to jail. So the prime terrorist in the 26/11 attack, you know, he's still in jail and the government is spending almost like a crore rupees per day to keep him in jail. And he said that I cannot live without beef. And you have to provide me beef, otherwise I'll fast food. And the government every day providing him beef in the jail. And now after that, all Muslims are demanding beef inside the jail.
So,
and the government is saying, see, this is the broad-minded culture of India. So this is insanity. So, asau maya hata shatru. So this is, you know, once you give up scripture, compassion means, Prabhupada explains, if somebody is a murderer, he should be murdered on the spot. So this is not compassion, this is just insanity. In the name of compassion. So, these people, they are completely demoniac. Now, Krishna described this further. And we'll take this theme of Yakshi Dasyam Modishya. How they do yajna and charity, and we'll have that in the next verse. Atma Sambhavita Sadda. Sorry, it's complete. That is described in the next verse. This verse describes Kama Krodha Parayana. What happens by that? Aneka Chitta Vibhranta Mohajala Samavitaha. Prasattah kama bhogeshu patanti narakeshu chau.
Thus perfect my various intentions, not by a network of illusions, they become so strongly attached to same desire and fall down into hell.
Prasattah, prasattah means totally attached. Asattah is prasattah, prasattah means completely attached. So they fall down to hell. So earlier it was ashuchi vratah and now it is narake ashuchau. So their words lead to a corresponding result. Atma sambhavita stabdha dhanyamanam adambitaha jante nama yajnaise sandhe namidhi purvakam.
Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false virtue, sometimes proudly perform sacrifices to gain only.
Love can be reduced. These people, ajante nama yajna iste. They don't do nama yajna, they do yajna for nama.
They don't chant the holy name,
yajna nama yajna iste.
they do yajna so that they can get naam, they can get fame. Atma sambhavitaha. Prabhupada is an Atma Mata, is complacent and imputed. Self-complacent and imputed. So, Chakravarti Goswami says, Atma sambhavitaha means they delight in respect by the ignorant. So, ignorant people respect. Wow, 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 kitna bada, so great. These people delight in respect by the ignorant. And that's how they become complacent by that. Atma sambhavitaha sambhavitaha. And so when they do yajna also, how they do? Dambhen avihi purvakam. They don't follow any vidhi for doing the yajna. So now an unfortunate consequence, like I was saying, this is dambha especially, when one demands respect for being religious. So even this Ganesh puja is there. Now there is one form where somebody cannot worship a deity permanently, then you have arohan and visarjan. You call 90 for some time, and then you do visarjan ability. But then, what happened was that the deity becomes the expression of the people's false ego. The false ego is this, the deity also has to be. So then they get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's normal deity would make it click. In the Ganesh deities, Tamakakan, Homeshwar Gandhi, Halimedi, which is in Maharashtra. Now they make POP deities. Because POP is more easy to make, play requires so much effort to make. And then what happens when they do surgery, the POP is in the zone. So, so they take this whole Ganesh murti and they do all the dancing, singing. Of course, much of it is just revelry, it's wanton enjoyment. But at the end, when they get to the ocean or the river, what happens? It doesn't sink out, it doesn't dissolve. So there they have big machines. And the machines systematically crush the deity into powder. So this is what Muslims and Christians laugh at. You know, one day the deity you are worshipping, and the next day you are crushing the head, crushing the hand, crushing the legs. Isn't this worship of stones? So now, from the government management point of view, they can't have these big deities floating in the rivers and the oceans. They have to dispose them off. So what happens is, this is Dambhen Avidhi Purvakam. Avidhi Purvakam. So when one does the deity, one does this sort of puja, where one wants to do this. Okay, to have it for a few days is okay. But when, if one wants to use it for brandishing one's prestige, then the whole sensitivity goes. Can you imagine the deity you are going down and the next day you are only crushing the deity in front of your eyes? It's ridiculous. One day when he was telling his neighbor had a Ganesh, and then you know, they wanted to, after when the visarjan is to be done, they have a well in the back side of their house. And so they are on the fourth floor, they don't even build the Ganesh down. On the fourth floor, they drop into the well. It's so stupid. So Dambhen Avidhi Purvakam. So then, Krishna summarizes this one. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham samshritaha mamatma paradeheshu tadvishanto abhyasuryasaha. So, here Krishna describes that ultimately they are envious of him. Mom is I, Atma Paradeheshu, and in their own heart, in the heart of others, Pratishan, so they are envious, they do wish and they criticize. So, it's only center of all the anarthas. Five descriptions. Ahankara, Bala, Garpa, Kama, and Kroma. So, here the description of the behavior of the demoniac implement, and now their destinations and their why they behave like this. That's this point. The consequences of this behavior. Kānaham viṣataha krūdāṁ vantāreṣu narādhamāṁ śpāt nedistra maśubhāṁ āsuriṣvaiva yonishu. So now Krishna, this is practically the only place in the whole Bhagavad Gita Krishna expresses anger. You know, in stored express of anger, Tanaham Vishta Kruga. Kshipa is a throat, he's envious people.
more than sheep around me. Ajastra means a very long time. Ashubha, inauspicious, awfully swaying in the shoe. And Krishna continues that in the next verse. Asurim jorim apanna murha janma janmani mahatra pevaton seya toyantya namgati. So, this seems to be very close to eternal damnation. They forever, they never attain me. But we have to understand the letter and the spirit both. So Krishna has other places said, for example, in he says, Apiche Sudraja. That is of course for devotees. They say, no matter how much you fall, you can be elevated. Mani Parasa Japash. Even if you have low wall, you can be elevated. That is talking about the 9th chapter, 9.30, 31, 32, even 4.36 he says, Apiche Sudraja. No matter how sinful you are, if you align the bad knowledge, you can go beyond. So our philosophy is not eternal damnation. I agree with one asked, Prabhupada is hell eternal? Prabhupada smiled at it. Nothing except that devotee service to Krishna is eternal. That's the answer. Now, we are officially in the Madhva Sampradaya, but actually we have to tell you a difference from Madhva Sampradaya. Of course, in knowledge we have differences. Prabhupada explains it differently. Prabhupada says, the Tattvavadis who claim to follow the Madhvacharya, they have not understood Madhvacharya Prabhupada. That's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who was in Madhva Sampradaya, when he goes to the followers of Madhvacharya in Udupi, he tells them, Tomara Sampradaya, your Sampradaya. So that means that the current followers of Madhva Sampradaya, they have not exactly understood Madhva's teaching properly. So according to their current understanding of the teaching, they say there are three kinds of souls. And they say Mukti Yogya, Mukti Santari, and Narak Yogya. So, they say there are Mukti Yogya souls, those can be made. Others they keep planting for a Mukti Santari. And there are Narak Yogya. So, Madhajaya talks about it a few times, but he talks about it and what does he do? He puts Mayavada in Narak Yogya. The idea is to frighten people. So now, this is a classification not of the soul, it is of the body. And for the sattva guna, he will be mukti yogi. The rajo guna is siddha samsara. And the tamo guna is narak yogi. But there is not a clear understanding what is the attribute of the body by the attribute of the soul. And they say, the soul are perpetually condemned. It's very unfortunate. Actually, that's one of the reasons. Why? You see, they have a very strong tradition, Madhva Sampradaya, Shri Sampradaya, but they don't preach much. Why they don't preach? Actually, they say that, you know, whoever is sent to Prabhupada, they will come to us. And Christians are converting, Muslims are converting, Marxists are converting, everybody is converting. You don't want, they can come. If you don't want, they will not come. So what has happened is, unfortunately, predestination of destiny has been given inordinate importance. As for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also criticizes, but this is what Bhagavan is for. He says, no, you emphasize karma kanda too much. You emphasize karma kanda too much. So their idea is that actually those who are going to be delivered, those who are okay, they will come to us. And those who don't come to us, obviously they are not okay. So what is the use of going to them? And people say, life of Madhvacharya and Amacharya, so you know, Prabhupada's great qualification was his compassionate vigor. Even to anybody in Ethereum. As Prabhupada says in the third chapter, the devotee is more merciful than the Lord by the mercy of the Lord. Those who are condemned, the devotee goes and delivers even there. So now, here, Krishna speaks almost angrily. But then, after that, he immediately comes to a philosophical level of analyzing what is the cause that people behave like this. In one sense, it's qualities, but among all these qualities, Krishna emphasizes three qualities as the gates to heaven. Tridham nartat chetam dvaram nashanam atmanaha kama krodhastha lobha smade satrayam teje. These three gates lead to hell in the future life, but these three gates bring hell here also in this life. and people live according to these, almost every advertisement is going to lead to hell nowadays. It brings these sort of anartha into our heart so much. So then we decided something and went for it, no? Yes, competition. Yeah, so Krishna is not etai mukta kaunteya. One has to be free from these. When he is free, what happens? He can actually act for his own well-being. So, otherwise we act in ways which are injurious to ourselves. Our own long-term and sometimes short-term well-being. So, what he can act in a way in the condition, eventually he will attain the supreme destination. Arjuna is actually compassionate. He says, you know, why is it like that? If these anarthas lead to hell, and by becoming free from the anarthas, then people can actually save themselves from hell and go back to godhead. Then why is it that how can actually people become free from the anarthas? And why is it that people don't become free? So this is now the concluding portion. It's a choice which all of us have. So we discuss the consequences of this sort of behavior, and now the choice, Krishna is the choice. Next word, transition. What is this problem? Two things problem. Reject scripture and then he is motivated by lust. Now therefore Krishna says how to protect ourselves. Yes, Krishna, question?
How to understand what is duty, what is not duty by the regulation
of scripture? When the rules and regulations
have to act so that
it may reasonably be regulated? Yes. So Krishna concludes by saying Shastra. Shastra is a praman for deciding what is to be done and what is not to be done. And Prabhupada elaborately talks about Varnashram in the purport, which enables us to know how to act in life. And so Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, in India there are many parties of spiritual understanding. Parties of spiritual understanding, generally classified as two, the impersonal and the impersonal. Both of them, however, lead their lives according to the principle of Veda. Without following the principle, one cannot elevate into the perfection stage. So,
the impersonalists, even if they do not tell the person on the word, at least they have the virtue of following the Veda. They are also in the house of the Veda.
And the Prabhupada says, next word, aversion to the principles of understanding, the supreme understanding of God, is the cause of all problems. So he's not saying aversion to God, he says aversion to the understanding principles of God. We may have aversion to God, but at least if you try to study and understand, you will give that aversion. The cause of all fall down. And this aversion is the greatest offense of human life. Human life is meant for spiritual life. If we say averse to God, that's the greatest offense. And then, Prabhupada says that the only hope for society is to be guided by a spiritual master. The spiritual master was Srila Prabhupada himself. Now practically all of us were either living or are likely to use a demonic life. You know, that if we live in a hostel, unless there is some body living nearby, so practically there is no alternative to breaking the regular rules. So no alternative. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam first word, people don't know why to follow the regular principle, and even if they know why to follow, they don't know how to follow. So, they don't know the philosophy. Philosophy is why to follow, and culture is how to follow. So, without that, we were living in demonic perfection. All of us would have suffered, but Prabhupada's mercy and Ascension Master's mercy, they want to give the opportunity. Save us and save as many people as possible. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada.